This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
If you or a loved one is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction and are serious about getting help, call us now at 855-820-2797. You can get clean and sober in as little as 7 days. Your insurance company may cover 100% of all costs with little to no out-of-pocket expenses. Our trained addiction specialists are available 24/7 and all calls are free and confidential. Just call us at 855-820-2797. How much longer are you going to suffer with addiction? Let us find you the best treatment center that fits your unique needs. Call us now at 855-820-2797.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Let's go to Mark Giller, who is joining us now. He's from theresurgent.com, and he wrote an article called Glenn Beck Rebooted. And Mark, good to have you on.
Hey, Glenn, thanks. I appreciate being on. Thanks.
You bet. I appreciate the spirit of the article, and it's nice to actually talk to a fan who has been a fan literally from the beginning.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of interesting because when I read the Washington Post profile that inspired the article in the first place, I hadn't really intended to go down that direction, but when I sat down to actually start writing it, a lot of memories of the show back in the old days on 970 WFLA just came rushing back to me, and it just sort of started pouring out to me, and it kind of turned into this very, very long introduction. But, you know, once I started rolling with it, I was having so much fun with it, you know, just talking about the Presbyterian church.
I love those.
The gags it used to do.
Those were hilarious. Yeah, we you know, for anybody who doesn't know what the Schlub Club was, I used to pit the 4 o'clock audience against the 5 o'clock audience. And I would tell the 4 o'clock audience that, you know, they were the real audience. The 5 o'clock audience, they were the schlubs. They were the people that just stroll in. Oh, I'm working. I can't listen. And so let's screw with them. And so we would plan something all hour. And then I would set up the calls. So when the people got off of work, they would just turn on the radio and they would start hearing these crazy people calling in. And they, by the end of the hour, they would be like, I live in an asylum. And all these people would, you know, that didn't, weren't in on it, so would call in and go, are all of these people crazy?
That was the funny part, too, because I was actually one of those schlubs at first, because, you know, I didn't get off work at 5 o'clock. So, yeah, I'm driving across the Howard Franklin Bridge going home, and Elizabeth's like, what the heck are these people? I couldn't believe it yet, but, you know, it just got so off the chart. I was like, all right, this has got to be a bit. And I so eventually figured that out. So, yeah. So I was in on the joke at that point, and I couldn't wait to hear those every single day. I
mean, yeah, they were great. We've never been able to do them because we don't know how to divide. We didn't know how to divide the show up, because some stations, because of time zones, shuffle the hours. And I remember, do you remember, Stu, were you with me when I did I'm in Love with My Sister? Yeah, yes. You were with me. Do you remember that, Mark?
I don't remember that one.
I remember
advising you not to do that.
Yeah, I did this whole hour where I built it up and I said, listen, I want you to know I'm going to talk about something that I've never shared before. And I did this really heartfelt monologue of the first time I fell in love. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it anymore. And it was up on the Ferris wheel when I was a kid, and I kissed my sister. And it's so disturbing. Yeah, and it was a whole thing to see if I could sway the audience to defend brother sister love, and got them there. Until the end, I was supposed to then come in and say,
and reveal
okay,
it.
So here's the thing. I'm just making a point here that I can get you to believe anything if I put enough.
If you don't have principle. I mean, it's right. The same points that we're making today.
Correct. Yeah. If I give you enough love stuff and heart stuff, you're going to fall for anything. Well, unfortunately, it was when I was first starting syndication, and President Bush had to give a speech about 9/11, and the affiliates all dropped off literally at the explanation. So for 24 hours, I had affiliates calling saying, we are not running this show ever again. So anyway, so your point here, the reason why I wanted to get you on is your point, say you can admire Glenn for to be the first to say enough and take a stand against it. But until he finds honest partners on the left who are willing to share the risk and stand by him, I'm afraid his efforts are doomed to fail. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of mostly inspired by what had happened with Sam B. Because I heard the segment that you had her on your radio show when I was driving out to Orlando, and I thought, well, you know, I've never been a big fan of Samantha B. You know, obviously I'm a creature of the right myself, and you know, kind of think she a lot of her opinions are kind of full of it, but. Listening to that, I thought to myself, all right, well, you know, this is worth a try because it's kind of akin to some of the things that I've had to do in mostly my online dealings with people, especially since I've gotten more into political blogging and whatnot. You can get into arguments with people, but my philosophy was always all right, I'm not going to be able to persuade people by putting them down, making them feel stupid, calling them names. And I always tried to deal with them in a respectful kind of way. So when I heard you and Samantha going back and forth and talking to each other about how we need to change the tone and how we converse with one another, I did respond to that. But then a couple of weeks later, she's on her show and she's comparing this poor cancer survivor at CPAC to a Nazi because of his haircut. And it just kind of really struck me because I thought, well, you know, she really took it to heart, the conversations that you had, and she really, really wanted to go ahead and change the tone. She wouldn't be doing that kind of thing. And it just kind of concerned me because, you know, I'm a big believer in the effort that you're trying to do here. And I think you're taking, obviously, a tremendous career risk, potentially alienating people in your audience. I know you're probably going to a lot of names being called, you know, particularly from the right, about being a sellout and whatnot, and trying to coddle the left and whatnot. I do believe that we have to start someplace, but I'm just really concerned about partnering up with the wrong people who aren't really taking it to heart and who are maybe just using this as an opportunity to promote themselves instead of actually really starting a dialogue and trying to make the conversation more civil between the left and the right.
So I'm thinking, and Mark, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your attitude and your approach on this. We've talked about this for a long time, and we believe we're going to have to kiss 1,000 frogs before we find one prince. Because it is difficult to, I was just on with Tavis Smiley, it airs on PBS, I think today or tonight or something. And he said, so why aren't you having more success with people? And I said, that's my question for you, Tavis. Now he was very, very open and, you know, but he has kind of a softer attitude anyway. He said, so why do you think it is? And I said, because I'm not sure that, he said, actually, he phrased it this way. Is it because people aren't self-reflecting because perhaps there was nobody, this is a quote, quite as bad as you? And I said, well, okay, that's one way to look at it. Or
I take it you never listened to Michael Savage,
right? Or you know, is it that people don't want to look at themselves? It's easier to look elsewhere, and I could tell you that there are people that, you know, let's look at Bill Maher, even Samantha Bee, that have said some really difficult things about people on the right. Are they looking?
Oh, sure.
Are they looking inside of themselves? I don't think so. It's easier to look outside. So it requires somebody to be humble enough to say, "What part did I play in this?"
Yeah, well, that was another aspect of the WAPO article that kind of set me back a little bit as well, too, because the tone of it was all, you know, here's Glenn Beck. He's trying to hug his way back into, you know, bringing America back together.
I thought that was an unfair article, yeah. By the way. I thought it took some things, some liberty with some things that was not the right tone. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the thing that struck me about that was that it proceeded from this assumption that it was all you're doing, and or you know, you can extrapolate that to it's all on the right side of the political spectrum, where all the hatred is coming from and where all the acrimony is coming from.
I agree.
And that is not the case at all.
I agree.
You know, if yeah, if the author, Mark Fisher, had seen fit to balance it out a little bit and maybe seeking out some people on the left and talking about how they've contributed to the, you know, the overall corruption of, you know, how we talk to each other and how we think of each other in this country, I think it would have been a heck of a lot more.
I will tell you, Mark, that you're right on the money, and I'm waiting for somebody to do that. And so far, nobody is willing to do that. Everybody's willing to dogpile, and I keep waiting for somebody to say, hey, wait a minute.
Well, again, though,
it's us
look
too.
At what's happening to you. But look at what's happening to you in your attempts to do this. I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of hate mail that you get over just this particular subject.
And that's
from
the staff.
Even since I posted this article, I've been getting a few hate tweets myself. You know, I'm just Joe Nobody who writes an article on the internet. So I can't even imagine what that would be like magnified, you know, a millionfold, like what you're dealing with here. And I think that, you know, people on the left, particularly those who make their living in the media, and they have this image that they have to uphold, are thinking the same thing and saying, holy crap, I don't want that happening to me. You know, I want to give my audience what they want. And that's kind of what I think what Samantha Bee was doing when she was doing her Nazi shtick with the with CPAC attendees, is that, maybe she got a few hate tweets of her own off of, you know, appearing with Glenn Beck or having you on her show, and thinking, well, I got to go throw a bone out here to my listeners or my viewers and, you know, let them know that I'm not being, you know, going all soft on the right. And that's problematic.
I'm talking to Mark Giller of The Resurgent. And Mark, I was fascinated by that point because you're right. I mean, it was a cheap joke at the expense of some guy at CPAC. Now, it turns out that the guy has cancer and there was a lot more to the story, but she didn't know that at the time.
And it wasn't her joke. It was the...
It was some correspondent, right?
It was a correspondent.
Yeah. But I mean, I was interested in seeing your article because you talked about the days of 970 WFLA, the mothership of this particular show.
Yep.
And, you know, those are great times and they were really funny, but also really harsh.
They were
and
mean.
And we a lot of times made fun of the appearance of somebody on the left. And we joked and made all sorts of things like that. It was a harsh show for laughs. And I remember at the time, Glenn saying, in comedy, there's always a victim. There's always a victim. We should always just make the first victim ourselves. And so that was the way we ran the show. But, I mean, her joke, is that just a funny line that we should all just be able to get over? Or is it really some, you know, attack that shows that she's not being an honest partner and whatever was trying to be done here?
Well, you know, I love to employ humor in the stuff that I write as well too. And you know, God knows that Twitter being the medium that it is, it just lends itself to snark. And I've definitely been, you know, guilty of doing that myself from time to time. Although I've never called anybody a commie or a pinko or anything like that. But yeah, and I really, one of the things about the mean culture that we have right now is that, yeah, it does make it increasingly difficult to make even good jokes and to laugh at each other because everybody's taking themselves so damn seriously. It's very, very difficult to do. And I think that, you know, if maybe the way we react to things like the Nazi joke on Samantha Bee's show is because we on the right have taken it on the chin so much from the popular culture, where we're always cast as the fuddy-duddies. We're always cast as, you know, the ones who want to get into everybody's bedrooms and we don't want you to have any fun and whatnot. When, you know, really a lot of that's actually what's going on the left these days. And it's just, you know, I guess it just makes us really mad because we've been the butt of jokes so many times. And that, you know, leftists very really typically have an extremely difficult time laughing at themselves. So, you know, I think maybe that's where we are.
I tell you, Mark, when somebody actually hears what you just said on the left, when they really hear you, things will change. But they don't so far. I've been trying and they don't hear that message yet. But once they do, I think we can come together.
I do hope that that is the case, because my fondest wish in our politics is that you know, we stop yelling at each other and actually start talking to one another instead. But, you know, the way things are right now, it's all emotion. It's all id. It's, you know, very little debating the actual facts. And, you know, I think that's, you know, how we came to that. It's, you know, obviously we've got mainstream media that's out there stirring the pot as well, too, because, you know, it gets some clicks and it gets some views. People are screaming at one another. Washington's happy with that because they can get away with whatever they want to get away with because people are distracted with minutiae rather than, you know, taking a look at the real big issues and the things that are really, really affecting them on a day-to-day basis. So you do have this entrenched power structure that's in place that has a vested interest in keeping us at each other's throats. So, it's going to be really tough.
I only have about 10 seconds. Do I What I really wanted to ask you was, you said, well, it's, I think it's doomed for failure. So do I continue or do I not continue?
No, it's only if you get the wrong partners that it's doomed for failure. The interesting thing about the what you were mentioning about Riaz, your friend as well, too, is that maybe he's going to be more of an honest partner because he's less of a celebrity.
Yeah.
So he's got, you know, less of a reputation to uphold, I guess, with his audience, since he's kind of more of a behind-the-scenes type guy. Yeah. So I think maybe you might be more more productive with that than, you know, going back to the last segment, maybe you ought to watch how to look good naked.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you so much. God bless. Mark Giller from TheResurgent.com.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the trouble that I have sometimes with my son and my daughter. They love the internet, as I do. The internet is an incredible resource, educational, social, recreational. It's all good, except it's not all good. Some of it is real bad, and it can show up on your kid's screen when you least expect it. So how do you as a parent handle it? I want to tell you about Hero Parental Control. It's the most comprehensive family internet solution available, and the activity from all of your family's devices can be filtered, can be monitored, and even tracked via GPS from a dashboard on your phone or your iPad. Material that may be healthy for a teen can be harmful to a young child, and so you need to have the perfect protection level from toddler to teen to mom and dad. One of the most important steps to a safer internet in your home is recognizing this is a really big issue. Hero gives you the power to create a protected and nurturing online environment. There's nothing like it. Try Hero. Block the bad. Choose what's good for your family. Visit BlazeHero.com. That's BlazeHero.com.